Mason from Bremerton, and we're just doing some worship. We're singing about the wonderful cross of Christ. What the world meant for evil, God meant for good. He has redeemed us, and this is our salvation. Will you join us? Let's sing together.
Thank you. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Squim Community Church. Thanks for letting us share that video with you. It was just kind of a fun project that we had the opportunity to do some worship and wanted to share that with the church. So I hope it was a blessing to you this morning. We're so glad you could be with us, joining us on our live stream as well as in person. And I love every Sunday seeing more and more smiling eyes in this room. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So let's stand, let's worship the Lord together this morning.
Fail me now. You won't fail me now. Jesus, it is at your name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. That you are Lord. You are Lord of the universe. We call you to be. We ask you to be. We pray that you be the Lord of our universe and world and relationships and life. You're a great leader. You lead us to a full and meaningful life. You take us to and through and to the other side of the things that are challenging and difficult. The suffering we just as soon turn away from or avoid in life. Yet we need the reminder that just because we're in a challenging time, it doesn't mean that you're not present. It doesn't mean that you've stopped acting. It doesn't mean that somehow you've stopped loving us and now you're shunning us. Just the opposite is true. In the trauma and in the tragedy, in the challenge, in the conflict of life, as we call upon you, as we seek you, you are there. You're there to comfort us. You're there to lead us. You're there to heal us. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be. That next step, that next place, that next opportunity before us. We're thankful that you've given us the helper, the advisor, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, so that we might experience your presence, your power, and your peace. Lord, where we have not lived up to, well, your godly ideal, we confess that to you. Help us, Lord, offload that so that we can have open hands to receive your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy. Lord, as we receive it, help us to pass that on to others. So in each and every day, help us to see your blessings, celebrate your blessings, and share those blessings with us around us. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us in worship this morning. And you can wave to a few people. We're getting closer. We're getting closer every week. We do have space, so come on down. We'd love to have you with us. I think it's interesting there are a few states that are still positioning over the issue of will we have worship on Easter Sunday morning, and I'm here to tell you we're having Easter on Easter Sunday morning, yes. So come and be a part of that. We're going to have two services this Easter let me read it right, 9 a.m. and 10:30. We're also having a Good Friday communion service. That will be on campus at 7 p.m. We've got some great invitation cards. We've mailed those out to people around you, so we've done the hard part of the work. We've sent the information. All you need to do is engage with those, link with those around you, and ask them about coming with you to worship or watching with you at your home, their home, on Easter Sunday morning. If you'd like some of these to pass out, they're available at the church office. A few other things that are important. Thank you for your contributions for the high school mission sale. They did a great job. you did a great job. I think people had fun coming down and buying things, and I know people were going back and forth on the virtual auction items, so thank you for your support and your generosity. We are doing a refresh of the sanctuary building. That'll be new paint and new carpet in the sanctuary. Both bathrooms are going to be renovated, and there will be an upgrade to the kitchen. We have some money already in. About half of what we need has already been contributed, but we would love to invite you and need you to participate in that. And so if you'd like to give an extra donation or gift beyond your tithe, just identify it that it's for the refresh project. Rick is teaching a great class. He wants you to know that he's live today at Squim Community Church, both following this service and during the third service. So I hope you'll stay afterwards and be a part of his class. Today, Linda Spriney is going to read our scripture passage.
Hi, church. This morning we're going to be reading Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We're going to talk about Jesus for a few weeks, this week, next week, which is Palm Sunday, and then on Easter Sunday. Now, I believe that Jesus is the most important person in all of history. Have you ever met famous people before? As most of you know, I worked in Hollywood for several years and lived in that area growing up in my middle school and high school years. And yes, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of stars, a lot of very important people, a lot of VIPs. And the interesting thing about them is that while you would love to meet them and you're excited to meet them, and there were those occasions when I met someone and they actually put out their hand and asked my name and wanted to know something about me. Now, when someone that you idolize or others idolize, someone who's a very important person, when they make eye contact with you and they call your name and they reach out their hand to you, you know, it's almost impossible not to respond. In fact, we want to respond to them before they've ever responded to us. I believe Jesus is the VIP. He is the most important person in all of human history. The reason for that is he was a profound and wonderful paradigm shift when it came to religion. Not a far-off God or supreme being or deity of some kind, but a God who was down to earth. Not a God that you have to get his attention or somehow locate. No, he searched for us and he called to us. And when he calls our name, when we feel his presence, oh, that's an irresistible call. And it's true, Jesus Christ came to declare the love of God to the whole world. But he also came to give you a personal invitation to be in relationship with him. The most important person in all of history wants to be our friend. My friend, your friend. Because of the friendship that God wants to have with us, we can get to know God. And we ought to get to know Jesus. Knowing Jesus is a continual priority in the life of a Christian, isn't it? In fact, right before the service, we were talking a little bit about what was going on in my life that led me to the point of hearing and responding to God's call in my life. And it meant a rearrangement of the priorities of my life. It meant making Jesus the top priority, the number one most important person in my life. And prior to that, the most important person in my world was, well, me or the girl that I was attracted to. It's an ongoing priority for each of us as we nurture our friendship with Jesus. Yes, everything else is worthless, Paul says, when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, the Lord. See, there's an infinite value there. There is an eternal value there. And yes, there is a full life to be encountered in Jesus Christ in this life. But there's also a glorious life to encounter with Jesus Christ when we die in this world and resurrect and live in eternity with Him. And so while we're living, that needs to be a number one ongoing priority, that we nurture our friendship with Jesus. Now, as Christians, that's also a continual opportunity. There is lots of opportunities in this world to worship God, to nurture our friendship with God. And through Jesus Christ, we can have the leader, we can have the friend, we can find the direction and the encouragement and the support that we all need. And it's true, it is a decision we make in time and space, but it continues into the future. It lasts for all eternity. For as we know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares His own glory and His goodness with us. See, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience heaven. Oh, well, we don't experience it continually like we will when we get to heaven. But there are slices of heaven, moments of heaven, encounters of heaven that we experience all the time, regularly, perhaps even daily in our life. Jesus is a good friend. He's a friend to sinners. Good for us. He's a friend now, and He's a friend for all eternity. How do we know that? How do we know who Jesus really is? Well, we know Jesus through the different names that He was given, or titles He was given as He lived here on earth. What's your name? Oh, my name is Jesus. Jesus, He had several very important names or titles. His mom called Him Jesus, which meant the salvation of God had come to this world. That Jesus was not just another child brought into this world, but He was the Son of God. Yes, that He was truly human, but He was also truly God. Luke 1:31, And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yahshua in Aramaic, meaning that God has come to this planet, and he's come to bring reconciliation between us and God, bridge the gap between us and God. God did not stay far off. He decided he would come personally and be a personal message of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's resurrection power personally. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures. They have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to be our friend and to bring to us the kingdom of God. Did not Jesus say over and over again, the kingdom of God is at hand? And he was referring to his presence, his ministry, his calling to give his life for our life, to show the power of God in resurrection, and to remind us that can all be ours through a friendship with him. Yeah, his mom called him Jesus. The Jews called him Christ or the Christ, the Messiah. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And what did Jesus explain? Jesus explained the who, what, where, when, why of our existence, didn't he? Why are we on this planet? Who are we really? What am I to do on this planet? And, well, where am I going? Where am I going tomorrow? Where am I going ultimately? And in Jesus coming, he declared all of those truths to us. The whole of the Scriptures became clear in Jesus Christ. He was the promised Messiah, the one that the Jews hoped for and prayed for and expected to come. And he came. He came, he lived. He died. He resurrected. The angels called him Savior. And that points to the purpose of Christ on our planet. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, he's Christ, he's the Savior, he's also the Lord. The key here is that he came to save us. He came to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We have a little bit of trouble just extricating ourselves from the common difficulties and calamities of this world, don't we? And then throw on it such trials as COVID and such tragedy as death. And we bump into our limits pretty quickly. In fact, more than a few people have just called upon needing a Savior in all that's been going on. I can't do anymore. Who can help me? Well, Jesus knows the human condition. He understands those feelings of helplessness and dread, anxiety and worry and stress. And he came to save us from that. Save us from the greatest fear of any human being, and that is death. And he answers one of the largest questions upon our mind: what happens to us 30 seconds after we die? See, that question is answered when Jesus is our Savior. Romans 5:15. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. See, as Savior, we have to admit that, well, we're not God. Oh, we've thought like we were God. We acted like we were deity. Didn't we? At least in a small way. And we understand that we're not holy, and God is holy. Even though Jesus Christ came to this planet, he never sinned. In fact, he overcame everything of this world, even temptation. And we don't always overcome temptation, do we? We give into it. In fact, COVID's result is that we've given in to a lot of temptations. And what we need is not more guilt and more shame upon us. What we need is forgiveness. We need forgiveness of our sins that lifts that extra weight of shame and guilt off of us. That shame and guilt is very good at cluttering up our lives. But once we're able to offload that, ask for forgiveness, when God grants that with his grace and his mercy, how that lifts us up and fills us up. And who couldn't use more of God's grace and God's mercy today? Really, you have enough? Now, I'm a person, I don't think I ever have enough. I find that each and every day I need to confess and receive forgiveness and once again allow God to buoy my life, empower my life, correct my vision, speak to me about what the future is all about for me. And for us. Some people called Jesus Lord, and that was his position. His position is that he's Lord. He's already Lord of the universe. The only question is he our day-to-day Lord? When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, when Jesus had stopped talking with them, Jesus has been talking to us for centuries in the Old Testament. And it seems as we read about his ministry, he talked to people day and night. And he reminds us as he resurrects from this planet before he transcended back into heaven, that we would have the Holy Spirit so that we would know his presence, his leading, his empowerment in life. Yeah, he's the Lord of the universe. Is he our Lord? Is he our leader? I think sometimes we let him lead in difficult times, awful times. We cry out to him, Lord, help us. You know, it's great, he does. He doesn't penalize us or punish us because, well, we hadn't allowed him to be the Lord of all of our life. But see, if Jesus as our friend is our number one priority, then he will be the Lord of our life every day and everywhere in our life. And to allow him to be the leader of our life each and every day, he leads us in a good direction. His desire is that we would understand the purpose of our life, the meaning of our life, the reality that our life is, yes, it's lived purposefully in this world. But we were profoundly made for another world. Can't you feel that? Don't you have a sense of that, that there's something within you that yearns for eternity? Now, maybe it's just that I'm getting a little older. I yearn for that a little bit more. I want to grab a hold of that reality and know that it's mine. And I know it's mine because Jesus is my friend. I know it's mine because I know that Jesus is the most important person in all of history. That's what our scripture passage today says. You know, in the end, it's all about Jesus. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. And he gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The profound sense of this passage is very clear. We can ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life, well, when it really makes a difference. Or in our state of death, we'll realize, oh, wow, the Bible was right. Pastor Scott was right. Those other people that talked to me about Jesus, who brought me to an Easter service, there's the commercial. See, they were right. I was wrong. I thought I was the most important person. I thought I was all the answers that I needed. I thought maybe Jesus wasn't the Son of God, that he didn't resurrect despite all of the science, all of the facts. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Our job is to get the word out now, to encourage others to ask Jesus to be the leader of their life now. In doing so, we do the very best we can do for other people. I mean, what better could we do than to introduce them to Jesus and take their very temporal life and their eternal yearning and bring that to a point of decision, of clarity, a place where they too can hear the call of Jesus. Feel him knocking at the door of their soul. Jesus didn't come to this planet just to fulfill some religious history or to make religious history. Jesus came so that we would know God's love, so that we could respond to his call in our life. And it is irresistible, isn't it? It's irresistible. To open the door and to let Jesus into our life means that we have to perceive Jesus as he truly was, for who he truly is. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now, you can try to cancel this culture and this declaration all you want, but it is the declaration for all of humanity. It is a declaration that fits, that his mom called him Jesus. The Jews called him Christ. The angels called him Savior. Even others knew that he was the Lord. See, those are the titles of the way, the truth, and the life. And notice what Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. I know that's an exclusive statement. Yet, just because it's an exclusive statement, that does not make it null and void. That does not make it wrong. It is right, because that is what Jesus declared to us. See, remember, he's already the Lord of the universe. Again, the only question is, will he be the Lord, the Savior, the Christ, the salvation of God in our world? And when we can perceive Jesus for who he truly was, and I don't think that's really hard to do, by the way. Some scholars believe it's impossible. How can we ever know Jesus? We're not sure even the words that he spoke. Really? Truly? No, we can know him. We can know him personally, and when we allow him to be our Savior and our leader, our Lord, that makes all the difference in this life and in the life to come. And so as we perceive Jesus correctly, then we can hear his call. We know that the knock at the door is for us, why he's calling our name. And then it's up to us to open the door and to pronounce our faithfulness to him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name or names, he gave the right to become children of God. See, God came to the whole world so that they would know God's love. But he decisively comes so that we know the way, the truth, and the life. And even though you may have been searching for him for a long time, he has searched and been near you far before you saw him or were aware of him. Because he knows where you live. He knows the number of your house. He's the one that comes and knocks at the door. And he doesn't say, "Hey, is anybody home?" No, he calls our name. And I know this, when a very important person, when a star calls your name, oh, there's an irresistible attraction. You want to meet that person. Jesus is the most important person in all of human history. He calls your name. Yeah, he wants to be friends with you. Let us pray. Jesus, I'm glad we can, in our limited human abilities, know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that fits in our life. We're always looking for the path, the best path, the good path, the next opportunity. You are the way. You are the truth. You tell us the truth. You don't spin the truth. You don't hold back the truth. You tell us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And at times it's true. That's a hard truth to hear. Hard truth to live. Yeah, you didn't just tell us what we want to know. You tell us what we need to know about life, about eternity, about what you did for us when you died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we're all looking for more life, a more meaningful life, a more purposeful life in this life. And it's true within us. We yearn for eternity. We have that sense that there is something that happens 30 seconds after we die. And you do give us a choice in this world. And today we want to choose you. We confess our sin to you and we're thankful that you forgive us. We ask you to lead our life and we'll do the best we're capable of at allowing you to be the leader of your life and getting to know you. Lord, always help us to feel your presence, your power, and the peace that passes all human understanding. Lord, thank you for being that kind of a personal God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please feel free to stand and join us for this last song. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above. The only one who could ever awesome to know that Jesus, the most famous person in the whole universe, wants to be your friend. That makes me feel pretty good. I hope it makes you feel pretty good too. Remember that this week and be encouraged. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.